Welcome to Womb Whispers, menstrual wisdom for everyday life. This is the podcast to follow if you want to radically trust your own body's cyclical wisdom, release trauma and internalized shame, and erode patriarchy from the inside out. I'm Lisa, and I'm on a mission to help you feel safe, happy, healthy, and holy in your body, and remember and reclaim the power and wisdom already stored in your bones. Hi and welcome to part 2 of the fireside chat about PMS, premenstrual syndrome, and PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, with my amazing guest Rhianne Beecraft. If you haven't listened to the first part yet, definitely go back and listen to that before you continue, as it really sets the stage for the rest of the conversation, in which we will address different ways and structures you can build into your life to support yourself or to support a loved one in this experience. I intentionally paused the conversation on the one hand because it was quite long anyway, but on the other hand because this would give you a moment of pause to reflect on what you've learned in the first part, where you received a lot of information on PMS, PMDD, neurodivergence, and what the experience with any of these can look like. I really hope you got something valuable out of that and did the reflection and integration practice I invited you into, so the different kind of information that we will provide today can take root in the soil you've just tended. And I love speaking in metaphor. That's part of the way I coach, because that's how humans translate their experience for someone else. Speaking in images or felt sense or colors and energies, because it will help convey what might be unexpressible otherwise. Anyway, so now you've tended the soil in the first part and the integration, and maybe even subconsciously planted some seeds for a new experience. So let's see what can grow from them. Enjoy part 2 of the fireside chat on PMS and PMDD. Yeah, these are some ideas of what could actually help support yourself, support someone else. Those were the ideas that I, as someone who does not suffer from PMDD, has to say is like, look at where you are in your cycle so you can pre-plan, prepare. Like you say, tell my partner that I want to hermit at that time, or tell my partner that I need XYZ, or tell my loved one, my kids, my whoever you live with, or even if you're single, then it might be even easier, but like whoever you need to ask for support, a friend maybe, to give you that support. That at the same time already helps you ask for what you need or what you want and express your, I like to call it, sacred yes and no. Like that is what this phase actually can really help us discern. It's like, what do I want to say yes to because it feels good for me in my body? And what do I want to say no to because it's actually just draining my energy? And this will not happen on the first try. And that's okay. You will have another cycle where you can train this. The thing is just this phase is a moment for us where we can go like, okay, what do I really need? And it's hard because society says, especially as someone socialized as woman, you're supposed to put your needs last, or you're not even supposed to have any needs. So we aren't in touch with them. And that can be even harder to get in touch with them, allow ourselves to have them, and then even ask for them being fulfilled. What other tips do you have that have helped you, or that you've seen other people support themselves with? Is there anything else you want to mention?
Well, yeah, I put 3 categories. And the first one was communication. So communication with the self, communication with the people around me. Give people a heads up. Sometimes I can get really specific if it matters, you know, if I'm sharing accommodations or, you know, living in the same space as somebody, then it can be really extra important to communicate with them. Needs, things like that. Communication with the self, you know, I remind myself not to believe my thoughts, especially in those 1 to 2 days. So that's the most gaslighting I'll be to myself in my life, is just be like, we're just not going to, you know, hook into these thoughts. Just make it 1 to 2 days. Which is good advice in general. Like when you're at your lowest of lows, like don't believe your thoughts about yourself and about your life. With that though, I have heard that PMS can bring up things that are already there, like things that are underneath. It just really can bring them to surface or make them really loud. In my experience, that's true. Like my sadness about the state of the world, humanity, you know, frustrations in my own relationships, whatever it is. They're already there and they surface. What tends to happen for me, or something I'm wondering and will keep paying attention to, is I lose the and. Like, and here's what's good. And here's where the hope is. Here's where the optimism is. But asking myself to have hope in those 1 to 2 days, no, it's not going to happen. I don't need to ask that of myself. It's just almost better for me to be like, I know what this is. I promise it'll feel different either tomorrow morning or the next morning. And I feel so sad for people who have to experience it longer than that. And I'm worried for myself about it going longer than that eventually. But that's something that's helped, the communication to others, communication with self. And then the two other categories I put, the first one is like grounding and down regulating. And the second one is up regulating, which is really interesting. The grounding and down regulating, I've noticed that, especially as somebody with ADHD, it's really good to have different things to reach to because I like novelty. It can get boring to do the same thing. So one thing is I'll start like an art project or a ritual 3 days in advance of when I think like the big emotional hit is gonna come. And so I'm already like interacting with beauty and positivity. And then I return to it in those days that are difficult, maybe continue building it out. Like maybe it's a collage piece or something with magazine clippings, or maybe I'm journaling on what I already created, or maybe I wrote a poem in advance and I just recite that poem over and over for those days. And it's an outlet. It's a way of holding myself. It's a way of letting the word I use of like divinity, spirit hold me, art, beauty, nature hold me, and hold the emotions that are there. So it's like this little container. The two other things that I put under the grounding and down regulating category is just nature, having nature hold me, going and connecting with nature. And then I wrote comforting entertainment. So there's entertainment in general, but comforting. So favorite shows, movies, things like rom-coms. The biggest thing about letting myself just lay in bed and watch those things and indulge is I'm treating myself kind of like I would on a sick day and just letting myself do that. And I know it's a way of taking care of myself and my emotions. And it feels like a healthy form of distraction. So it's engaging my brain in something that already feels sweet to me. So that's that category. I can go into the upregulating category and I will, but I just want to pause because that was already a lot and just see if you have anything to say about that category.
I have a few things I want to say afterwards, but with regards to what you just said, I love that because I had this conversation yesterday actually with a client, and she was, I'm grieving and I should stay in this grief and do the grief right and not distract myself with uplifting things because I'm supposed to grieve now. And I was like, yes, you're supposed to feel your feelings. That's true because that brings healing. And also, give yourself a certain time frame to really grieve for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, and then do something completely opposite that is uplifting. Like you say, watch your favorite movie, watch a rom-com, go for a dance, whatever it is, because while you're supposed to feel your feelings, you don't have to drown in them. It is completely okay. And sometimes, even when you experience something traumatic, the first reaction is to distract ourselves. And that is okay because it's a lot to take on your system. And if the way for you to cope with it is to, first of all, distract yourself, that's okay. Full permission. I guarantee this thing stays in your body until you have the capacity to deal with it. And that doesn't have to be today, nor tomorrow, nor next week.
Yeah, if somebody could play that, those last couple of lines, just like on repeat, that little of those two lines that you said, or that last line that you said, just like, doesn't need to be now. It doesn't need to be now. Yeah, and I think so. This leads into the upregulating where we can get that message a lot of like, tend to the self and ground and meditate. And like, yes, I literally do all of those things. They're such huge parts of my support. when I'm in those 1 to 2 days of despair and throughout the rest of my month. But upregulating, like something I found for me is if I am physical, again, it's kind of starting the 2 to 3 days before the despair pit where I'm like, I'm just going to start going on runs, or I'm going to do like a nature hike or a nature walk or something, and I'm going to do it for the next 6 days. And I start it before. So I'm already taking initiative. I'm getting into that momentum. And then I make myself do it even on the days of despair because it's already started. It's like, it does. It gives me momentum through those 2 days where I'm not asking myself to suddenly pick up something I hadn't done in 10 days or 12 days when I don't have it. And times where like I used to hate this advice when people be like, well, go work out anyway or run anyway. It still makes me want to scream. Also, just like trying to tell an Aries what to do. Good luck. But so for me, I'm like, okay, what I have seen that sometimes physical exertion is really helpful. It's even more helpful for me if I've done it the 2 to 3 days in advance of that despair. It
You
doesn't
want to
feel like
hear
I'm.
my take on why that could be?
Yeah. Oh gosh, please.
My brain was just like, well, yeah, for you, this exercise brings serotonin, like the feel-good hormone. So you've got an extra dose of serotonin before you hit that low. Of course, that will make it easier.
There we go. Okay, well, thank you for that. And so for other people, it wouldn't necessarily, you think, feel as useful.
Well, that depends on the person. So I'd
Yeah.
say try at
Yeah,
least three
try.
times to really assess whether it's working or not. Once might not do the trick. Try at least three times and see what happens. I
Yeah.
absolutely think it could be beneficial, but not everyone like enjoys going for a hike or a
Right.
run or anything. So like
Right.
I can't say do it because it will help you, because it might not be true for you. But try.
Right. And people have different physical abilities. And so, whatever it is where is it like getting the heart rate up or something? I don't know. Getting the
But
blood
even as you
pumping.
say, doing something creative that you then basically feed on and nourish your soul when you're in there is also like it brings you joy while you create it.
Right.
And then you can use that joy for the hard days.
Yeah. And I'd say too, like sometimes people are like, I don't have time for this. Like, if myself 10, 15 years ago heard that then I sat down and I wrote a poem and I made a collage and I put the pine cones around it to take a pretty photo to keep looking at because it soothed me, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't have time for that. And I also don't have the attention span for that. Like, so boring. Don't make me move slow, all of this type of stuff. And so when we each find what is the grounding moments and exercises for you, what can happen when you slow down because you're taking care of yourself and you're curious about it, and then you see what benefits exist for you, you'll find your flavor of it. Like, well, you don't want to move so slow for so many days, but then it backfires and now you're so stressed because everything's built up. Like, I understand that too. But just playing with it and seeing when we say, like, I don't have time for that. What time are you actually gaining back? And what mood are you actually gaining back by being proactive on these types of things? So, with the upregulating, oh, so physical, we talked about that. Social. So, this is another form of healthy distraction. I'm not going to exhaust myself and make myself like be the social butterfly. I'm not going to force myself to be cheery and the comedian and all of this, but just being around people and them talking about their life, and maybe they're in a good mood, and it takes you out of yourself and it takes you out of those despair thoughts. I can be around people, but then I'm gonna like hermit in my room and just be like mopey in the house. That's really different too. It's like if we're kind of like scheduled, like we're gonna go on the walk now, and then we're gonna, if I have it in me, right? Or can I push myself to just say yes because I know what the alternative will look like? Sometimes I won't. So I will say this, depending on some of these things that I do for myself, sometimes I'm like, it didn't come this month. It didn't happen this month. And it's because I was hanging out with my sibling and nibblings or my friends or whoever for 3 days straight. And we were doing activities and yard games and whatever. And it didn't really come, or it did come, but way lighter and for less time. And then you can be like, so am I making this up? And then you're like, no, I'm not making it up. There's these things that help, and I'm learning that. The
I just want to
final.
say Once your brain goes, am I making this up? The answer is always no. Doctors will tell you yes. Let me tell you no. The answer is always no when you already ask yourself this question.
Yeah. So the final thing under upregulating is what I call, so I had comfort, entertainment, under grounding and downregulating. And for upregulating, I put dumb entertainment. It's like happy-go-lucky, silly shows. You're like guilty pleasure shows or podcasts that are so silly and dumb. Maybe they just talk about celebrities and celebrity culture, which I truly cannot give myself to give any shits about. And that's why it's good for me, because otherwise my thoughts aren't only the things that I care deeply about and am heartbroken around. So let me listen to this stupid thing where people are making each other laugh. And yeah, dumb entertainment can help with like upregulating and like hook my brain, because they produce these shows in a way that really hook you, but they just don't matter. I also just do daily things for myself every day. The journaling that I do, the energetic work on myself that I do. So that maintains throughout as well.
Thank you. That was a fabulous list. And I think that will be of massive help for anyone listening, suffering from this. And there will be a little bit of something for everyone there and enough ideas to spark inspiration. The things that I want to add without making this go too long is, for me, because I have a training in female health, what I know and found through that training is that there are three majorly important systems in your body that are more important than the other systems because they are here to keep you safe and alive. That is the nervous system, the lymphatic system, and the digestive system. And because PMDD is also playing out on a physical level, that's why I want to mention these. The nervous system is key, because only in a relaxed nervous system state can the body do its repair processes, its maintenance processes, rest and digest and heal. So we need to make sure that for every time we experience stress, because stress isn't bad, but if in excess, it's always like everything in excess for too long will deplete us. So we need to make sure, if we like to be excited a lot, to also have resting phases. And rest, by the way, there are 7 types of rest. Rest doesn't just mean sleeping or lying on the couch. Rest can be social rest, being with people, like all the things you mentioned. Having these dumb shows on or podcasts on can be a form of rest for your brain. So, like, don't get me wrong. There is not just one type of rest, but having this to counterbalance the time when your nervous system is on high alert and high vigilance, because this will always exacerbate any sort of symptoms. The lymphatic system, I already addressed in the beginning, that is, for one, a communication pathway for the nervous system to send messages, but also just for all the waste and metabolic waste to get out of the system so your cells can live in a healthy environment. And then the third system will be the digestive system, that needs to work so that your body can take in the nutrients that you put in with your food, because in order to produce the hormones at the levels they need to be produced, and for example, to produce serotonin, that is produced mainly in the gut. So if your gut isn't working well, you might not be able to absorb the right nutrients that are important for serotonin production. And then we, of course, have this cycle that spirals down. Less serotonin might mean your nervous system is more activated. More nervous system activation brings up other issues. And so if these three systems are well and healthy and in order most of the time, like 80%, I do believe that everything else will sort itself out. So that's why my approach always goes to nervous system, lymphatic system, digestive system. And nervous system also includes psycho-emotional work and spiritual work. Because as you also say, like, this connection to the divine, whatever way, shape, or form that takes for you, is calming, because it means that you're not alone in this. It means you are held by some loving force that is greater than you, that exists in this universe. And you understand that this life isn't meant for suffering. This life is meant for living. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it means shitty experiences. And you've got the capacity to make it through.
Mm-hmm. Very well said.
So to start closing this down, because I think we've covered a lot of ground today. In case you as the watcher or listener have any questions or would like to reach out to us, please do. We will provide, or I will provide, everything you need in the show notes. But Rhiann, just let us know very briefly where can folks find you? Where do you tend to hang out most? Where do you love to be? Where are you most excited? We know Instagram stories.
Yeah,
Just
you
part
know
of
my Instagram stories.
the
You can follow me on Instagram. It's at and then my first and last name, Rianne Becraft, RianneBecraf as in Frank, T as in Tom. I'm not very active on the grid, very active in the stories. It is a private account, so just click request. When I find that you're not a bot, I let you in. And if anybody wants to book a one-on-one coaching session with me for career or life coaching, especially those change makers out there experiencing burnout, frustration, they just want more spaciousness in their life, more joy, enjoyment, friendship, things like that. You can go to my website. It's www.rbcraft.com. And if you mention this podcast and Lisa's name, I can give you 20% off for first-time clients on a single session. I know. The last thing I'll say is I do have, you and I talked about more aligned living and the journey of that. If you're new to that journey or have been on the journey for a while, the free resource I've made for folks is wonderful. I actually use it all the time with my clients. Quite proud of it. It's called the Meaningful Life Manual, and it's four critical questions for purpose-driven people who want to enjoy more in life. And that you can just go to my website. It's rbcraft.com/meaningful, and you can get that for free.
Yay! Oh, I will definitely make sure to link all of that below. Those are
Thank
amazing
you.
resources and a generous offer. Thank you so much in the name of my listenership, my watchers. Yeah, thank you so much for being here with me, for wondering and pondering and musing and asking and sharing and supporting on this taboo topic. Is there now at the end anything you want to add or reiterate, a message that you want to send to folks out there, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, thanks for that. I think first, you know, sometimes I worry talking about this that somebody might be like, see, this is why we can't have a woman president or a woman prime minister or something, because they're just going to hit the nuclear bomb like button or the war button when they're PMSing. And I literally wrote out like four rebuttals to this that nobody has said to me recently, three, and I won't go through them all. But people who don't menstruate, people who were assigned male at birth, whatever people, whatever's going on in people's bodies, they all have emotional highs and lows and egotistical fits. And we sometimes are like, anger is strong and okay, but empathy is weak and will lead to poor decision making. It's just so much sexism within that line of thinking. And also, obviously, people who menstruate. People who were assigned female at birth, socialized as women, trans people, non-binary people, intersex people, all of this have been incredible leaders since the beginning of the human species, are strong, fucking hold up this planet and families and communities and society. A lot of where the good comes in comes from these people. And they're still really strong, badass leaders every day. And it's okay in the days that we don't have it in us to be, but I'm just want to name all of that. Of like, despite all this hormonal chaos that we've experienced from puberty, look at these folks and all that they hold for themselves and others. The final thing I'll say is just if anyone listening is experiencing gender dysphoria or anything like that as we spoke. I see you. Some of the terminology doesn't resonate. I see you. You know, I'm somebody who is fine. Talk about bleeding and my cycle. I know some people use like moon cycle or something. And it was interesting listening to you talk about like eggs. I was like, oh, I'm not used to talking about that. And I don't love thinking about that I have eggs. And I don't know how much of that is like a gender experience for me, or gender dysphoria, or somebody who, again, so I was 15, I was like, I just know I don't want biological children, and that hasn't changed. And so I don't know if it's more related to that or if it's linked, but I just wanted to say, I see you. I don't need to understand what that rub was for me today. It was interesting, and maybe at some point it'll click in of what's behind that. And I'm not in a rush to figure that out. So, just sending hugs out there to anybody who was noticing things like that within their self too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really, thank you for mentioning that, because as much as I try to be a safe enough space, I know that I don't have that experience. So I might say something that doesn't resonate with people. And I'm sorry if that has triggered anything in you. And also, we can always talk about these things, in my
Yeah, I
opinion.
appreciate you saying that. I didn't say anything earlier because I was like, I don't want Lisa to think that I'm saying don't use those words for this podcast, because that's what I didn't want you to think or change. I actually wouldn't be asking for a change. It was more of like a noticing of myself. And you know, in a future podcast, if I was like, you know, we're using eggs in general, but for me, I'm going to use this funny, cute term that I like for myself, then that, to me, that's on me to know. And I didn't know. And so that's for me to know and communicate. But I
Then we have that
appreciate the language.
communication. That's the
Yeah.
thing we need more of, honest and open communication.
Yeah, I've appreciated the language you've used just in our, you know, calls, friendship prior to this and on this entire call. So I really appreciate you being so gender inclusive in the way that you have. You've shown up in such just an immensely wonderful, positive, supportive way the whole way through.
Thank you. And by the way, life is cyclical. Everybody is cyclical. We all have cycles. Yes, figure that. Like
Exactly.
everyone, we just operate on different kinds of cycles. So again, it's up to you to chart your own cycle, whatever the cycle base it is that you use. And even when you've crossed over into menopause, you might go along the moon cycle if that speaks to you. Or if you don't have your reproductive organs, or not anymore. In all those cases, you could turn to the moon cycle, or to the daily cycle, or to the yearly cycle, whichever calls to you. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Again, thank you for being here. It was an amazing conversation. And yeah, I guess it won't be our last conversation.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to speaking again soon.
Same. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Now, before you go, if you enjoyed this episode, please share the love by leaving a raving review and forwarding the episode to a friend who really needs to hear this today. You can learn more about me and my work over on my website or in my weekly e-letters, Moonday Musings, that I send each Moonday, Monday morning, to start off the week more connected to yourself and fully present in your glorious body. And if there's a question or topic you want me to explore further, send me a mail and let me know. Now, have a lovely weekend and speak soon.